Okay, let's just jump right in. For months, the tech world has been, you know, whispering about this, this piece of hardware that sounds less like a real component, more like a myth, the RTX 6090. People are already calling it the Neural Leviathan.
And honestly, that title might even be an understatement.
It really might.
It's a good name for it because it signals something that exists, you know, completely outside the normal ecosystem. Our mission today is to do a real deep dive here. We've got leaked reports from places like Chappelle, some great insights from Kopita 7 and Kimi.
He's always reliable.
Always. Mm-hmm. And we've even got some excerpts from engineering notes. And it all boils down to one question. Why has NVIDIA just fully embraced brute force engineering?
Right. Because what we're looking at here, it isn't just a graphics card anymore. Not really.
Yeah.
The specs, the power needs.
Mm.
It's a fundamental redefinition. This thing is less of a graphics card and more of a dedicated neural brain.
Precisely. It's built for AI first, and gaming is just this, well, this incredible side effect.
So to really get this, we have to start at the bottom,
right?
The silicon itself.
Exactly. The architecture. We saw the 50 series bring in Blackwell, but this is something else. The leaks are calling it a deeply refined iteration, Blackwell Ultra.
Okay, so Blackwell Ultra. That sounds like it's maybe a preparatory step towards their next big thing, the Rubin architecture. Like they're using the 6090 to just push fabrication to its absolute breaking point.
That's the theory. They are basically betting the farm on maximizing transistor count, period. The sources are pointing to TSMC's most advanced nodes. We're talking beyond standard 3-nanometer.
So N3P.
Or maybe even early N2. That's 2-nanometer silicon.
But wait, N2? Like it comes with just incredible risks, doesn't it? I mean, we're talking about terrible yields, massive costs.
Oh, absolutely. When you're on that bleeding edge, yields can be awful. You waste a lot of chips. But for NVIDIA, it seems like a calculated risk.
Because the goal isn't just profit per chip.
No. The goal is performance density. They need to cram in every single transistor they possibly can to build more and more of those tensor cores.
And that answers the why. This isn't just about making prettier shadows in video games.
Not at all. The primary objective, the whole point, is to maximize that tensor core count so you can handle these massive large language models locally. It's a huge strategic shift to dominate the decentralized AI market.
It's a professional-grade deep learning workstation that they've somehow squeezed onto one giant board.
Exactly.
Okay, so if the goal is a neural brain, let's talk about the feel for it, the specs. They're just intimidating.
They really are. And the memory is, you know, it's non-negotiable for who they're targeting. We might have expected, say, 32 gigs of VRAM.
Which would have been a lot.
Right. But the leaks are pointing to a massive 48 gigabyte GDDR7 configuration for the top model.
48 gigabytes. For the average gamer, that's just, it's pure overkill.
Right.
But for an AI developer, why is that number so critical?
Because VRAM capacity is the single biggest bottleneck. It's the wall you hit. You can have all the processing power in the world. But if your model, like a big Llama 4 model, doesn't fit in memory,
you're just stuck.
You're stuck. You hit a choke point you can't get past. 48 gigs lets a prosumer run these huge, complex models on their own machine. Models that used to need entire server clusters.
But isn't the industry all about optimization now? You know, making models smaller. Is this just NVIDIA trying to force a capacity jump?
It's a bit of both. I mean, optimization helps, but the models just keep getting more complex. And crucially, 48 gigs gives you headroom for training or fine-tuning locally, which is way more memory intensive than just running the model.
And all that memory needs to be fed at an insane rate.
Unbelievable. Which brings us to bandwidth.
I saw the notes about the memory bus. They're bringing back the Phylon 12-bit bus. I thought that was phased out in consumer cards because it was too complex.
It was. But with GDDR7 running at speeds of, 32 gigabits per second or even more, you absolutely need that 512-bit width to avoid starving the cores.
So what does that work out to?
You combine that width and that speed, and we're looking at memory bandwidth approaching 2.5 terabytes per second.
Wow. We have not seen numbers like that on a consumer card.
Never. And then there's the raw core count.
The CUDA cores. Rumored to be over 24,576.
Yeah. I mean, to put that in perspective for you, that's like taking two RTX 4080s, maxing them out, and then fusing them onto a single board. It's industrial-level computation.
And that kind of computation, it leads us straight to the huge trade-off, the Leviathan problem.
The cost of all that power? They've sacrificed efficiency completely. We are officially entering the 800-watt crisis.
That's the part that just changes everything. The TGP, the total graphics power, is rumored to be between 600 and 800 watts.
A staggering number.
This isn't a component upgrade anymore. It's a total ecosystem change. Yeah. The PSU nightmare.
It is a nightmare. I mean, think about it. 800 watts is what a washing machine pulls. To handle that much current safely, the sources confirm NVIDIA is working on a new connector.
Revised 12V2x6.
Dubbed the high current interface. They have to solve the melting cable problem before it even starts.
And that just ripples through the whole system. What does it do to the power supply unit?
Your 1,000-watt, 80-plus gold PSU, the one that used to be top of the line.
Yeah.
It's basically e-waste. It's not just the sustained draw. It's the transient spikes, these tiny microsecond power surges under heavy load. You need massive headroom to handle those without tripping everything.
So the new gold standard is what?
A 1,600-watt titanium unit, minimum. That gives you the stability and the overhead for the 800-watt card, plus a high-end CPU that's also pulling 300 watts.
And then there was that anecdote in the engineering notes. It said that running a full system like this might actually require a dedicated circuit breaker for your room.
You're not just managing a PC. You're managing your house's infrastructure.
And if you're putting 800 watts of electricity into one tiny chip, the heat problem must be just as bad.
Oh, it's terrifying. Air cooling is hitting the absolute limits of physics here.
So how do you get rid of 800 watts of heat?
You make the card comically large. The leaked prototypes are showing a 4-slot thickness.
4 slots? Mm-hmm. That's a brick. I remember when dual slot cards felt huge. This won't even fit in half the cases out there.
And it creates so many other problems. A 4-slot card will block almost every other PCIe slot on your motherboard. No more sound cards, no capture cards.
And the cooling design itself. That flow-through design is going to dump all that hot air where...
right onto your CPU cooler, your RAM, your M.2 drive. You're basically cooking your whole system from the inside out. You'll need incredible case airflow.
Which is why there's a high probability that the flagship model, the Founders Edition, might just give up on air cooling entirely.
It seems likely. It might just ship with the built-in 240mm or even a 360mm AIO liquid cooler. Not as an option, as the standard.
And the weight of this thing.
Yeah.
The estimate is 3.5 kilograms. That's almost 8 pounds. The sag issue becomes the snap issue.
It will literally tear a PCI slot off the motherboard.
It's true.
A heavy-duty support bracket isn't optional anymore. And vertical mounting becomes a structural necessity, not just for looks.
So let's say you manage all that, the power, the heat, the sheer size. What does this actually do for gaming?
Well, for anything below 4K, the bottleneck just moves. It's now your CPU and your monitor. Even a top-tier CPU is going to struggle to feed this beast at 1440p.
But for next-gen rendering, path tracing, that's where it shines.
Exactly. This could be the card that finally lets you run something like Cyberpunk 2077 at native 4K with full path tracing on and get a stable 60 frames per second without relying on frame generation.
And it's the first card genuinely built for the 8K push.
It is. It's built for the 8K 60 FPS era, full stop. And for VR, it means photorealistic rendering for each eye in a high-end headset, no more artifacts.
So that's the gamers, who are basically just the lucky beneficiaries here. But let's get to the real audience, the AI factor.
Right. NVIDIA isn't building this because they think everyone's buying an 8K TV tomorrow. They're building this for the prosumer AI market. It bridges a huge gap.
The gap between, what, the $2,000 consumer cards with 24 gigs of VRAM and the $30,000 enterprise cards?
Yeah, exactly. For a small studio or an independent researcher who needs more than 24 gigs but can't afford a data center rack, the 48 gig 6090 is essential. It's an enterprise machine you can buy off the shelf.
And gamers are just, as the leaks put it, lucky passengers.
Lucky passengers who will probably get exclusive software, too. We're expecting things like DLSS 5 with AI texture rendering to be exclusive to this hardware.
Which brings up the market reality. AMD has basically said they are out of this ultra-high-end race with RDNA 5.
They're not fighting this 800-watt war.
So NVIDIA has a monopoly.
They have a monopoly, and that means they can set the price. They know the AI niche will pay almost anything for that 48 gigs of VRAM. There's no competition to keep the price down.
So the numbers being thrown around, estimated MSRP starting at
$2,499. And the high-end custom AI B models could easily hit $3,200.
And when can we expect this monster?
It's still just rumor, but maybe a paper launch at CES 2027? Or if they get really good yields on that new silicon, maybe a surprise release in late Q4 2026.
So to sum it all up, the RTX 6090 is the pinnacle of brute force engineering. It's pure ingenuity, but with a total disregard for efficiency.
It demands an overhaul of your entire setup. New case, new power supply, maybe even a new air conditioning unit for the room. For 99% of gamers, it's just absurd.
But for that 1%, the developers, the researchers. It's not a want, it's a need. It's an enterprise machine hiding in a consumer's clothing.
Yeah, and what's wild is how it pushes past the limits of a normal home environment. The Leviathan doesn't just demand a better PC, it demands better infrastructure in your house.
And that's the thought I want to leave you with. If top-tier consumer tech now requires you to call an electrician to install a dedicated circuit, where does this end? If our pursuit of AI is pushing components past what a standard wall outlet can even handle, what's next? It really makes you wonder how long until a motherboard ships with its own, I don't know, dedicated external power unit just to keep the lights on. Something to think about while you start saving for that $3,000 PSU.